Well, Pastor Tom just reported that there were a horde of men back at the bookstore pounding on the door, wanting that amplified version. He's got some. He's got a few copies, I think. And so he's actually going to auction them off to the highest bidder after the Bible study here. So, and guys, if you're thinking, you know, I really got a lot to do at home, you know, I've got some chores to do, some things to get done. I'm thinking about just, you know, getting the barbecue, the tri-tip, and then taking off and just going home and blowing off the last session this afternoon. Let me just suggest to you, that is not a good idea. Because the last session today, we're going to talk about sexual intimacy in marriage. I even have your pastor's permission to speak on the subject. And so guys, whatever you do, ladies too, trust me, but guys, especially guys, you don't want to blow off his Bibles. It's a knee-squeezing Bible study. You want to sit real close together and reach over. And it'll be a lot of knee-squeezing going on during the last Bible study of the day. So just telling you, this is not the one you want to blow off. Leave now if you need to go. But you don't want to avoid that one this afternoon. You want to be here for that. Anyway, let's pray. Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you, Lord, for a love that is expressed so thoroughly that you give us instruction for every area of our lives. Your will is a safe place, Lord, and you're leading us into a better way to live. Lord, not only do you want our marriages to glorify you, which you do, Lord, your will is best. Your will is a better way to live. It enhances our love for each other. It causes us to grow together in ways we never thought we could. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to grab hold of the big picture you're wanting to do in our marriages. Lord, I pray for the wives, Lord, that they would learn to submit to their husbands. And I pray for husbands that they would learn to love their wives. So work in this next session, Lord, especially in the hearts of our husbands here, Lord. Sometimes our hearts can get hard. We can get cold. And we need to be reminded of your love for us and your will for our lives. So speak to us, Lord, in a special way in these next few moments. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to introduce to you a new sport. It's called wife carrying. The sport of wife carrying. And the name is self-explanatory. A husband carries his wife over an 830-foot obstacle course. The fastest time wins the race. Contestants are encouraged to develop their own technique. But three carries dominate the sport. First is the wraparound approach. It's where the wife just sort of lays over her husband's shoulders and he carries her fireman style. The second is the piggyback approach, where she sits on his back. You know the piggyback approach. Third is the more complicated style. It's called the Estonian, named after the country that invented it. The wife travels upside down on her husband's back with her legs hooked over his shoulders and her arms wrapped around his waist. It's a popular technique because it evenly distributes out the wife's weight over her husband's torso. Well, numerous wife-carrying competitions are held each year in various countries across the planet. But the world championships are hosted by Finland, the sport's birthplace. And here are the Finnish rules. Wives have to be 17 years old and weigh at least 108 pounds. If a wife doesn't make the weight, her husband gets weighted down with a sack. The track is made up of sand, grass, gravel. There's a water hazard, and there's a climbing obstacle. If the husband drops his wife, the couple gets charged a 15-second penalty. He gets penalized by the course, but I'm sure he also gets penalized by the wife in much greater ways later on. Well, all participants are required to have fun. That's really the only rule. By the way, the world record, if you want to try this, is 55 seconds. Well, this morning, I want to talk to husbands about wife carrying. As a Christian man, you are running a race. But as a married man, you run that race while carrying a wife. As we've already discussed, marriage is a picture. God created marriage as a divine snapshot of Christ's relationship with His church. And the role that God gives to husbands is a lot like that of a wife carrier. Husbands should lovingly lead, and wives should submit to their husbands and give him their respect. Recall, symbols and pictures are important to God. You don't have to look any further than Jesus' Last Supper with his disciples. He spoke of the bread, "This is my body." The cup was also a symbol of his blood. And then he commanded all generations of believers to regularly partake of those elements. Symbols matter to God. He speaks to humanity through pictures. And here in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, God calls husbands to lead and wives to follow. "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Men should take charge. They should be the head of their home. They should rise up. They should take on leadership. As in the sport of wife carrying, husbands need to set the pace and take responsibility for their wives. And a wife's calling is to line up her life in her husband's direction and then hold on tightly for a wild ride. Yeah, let me cut right to the chase this morning. Too often today, we find the wife carrying her husband rather than the husband carrying his wife. I have met too many husbands who complain, who even whine, "I get no respect. My wife refuses to treat me as the head of our home." All the while, he's acting like the rear rather than the head. Some men have been married for years, but they're still a rookie at the sport of wife carrying. And this is what I hope God will change through today's message. The Bible is clear. God calls husbands to be the head of their home. But it's also clear that we're to be loving, caring leaders. We're to be heads with a heart. In a letter to his son, author Charlie Shedd, he gives this advice to husbands: "Take charge, but not as a mighty potentate sitting on his throne, ruling his cowering subjects with an iron hand. No, take charge more like a conductor standing on his box, directing a symphony, delicate but definite, subdued yet powerful." This is a wonderful picture. A family is like an orchestra. And it's the husband slash dad who's called on by God to be the maestro and to organize that family so that it makes beautiful music. Male headship is a definite biblical principle. But again, don't mistake a husband's leadership for some kind of male-dominated dictatorship. 1 Peter 3, verse 7 refers to married couples as heirs together of the grace of life. Yes, husbands and wives have different roles in their relationship, but in many ways, we are equals. We are peers. Kathy is not only my wife, she is also my sister. My wife is my sibling. She's my sister in Christ. She and I are children of the same Father, our Heavenly Father. Put these two concepts together: head of the wife and heirs together, and the man is the head heir. But if being the head goes to his head and the old boy gets the big head, if his attitude gets twisted just a bit, rather than head heir, he can just as easily be the heir head. He can. Here's our big problem. Most men fail to grasp the delicate biblical concept of headship. As head of the church, Jesus is the Savior of the body. Thus, headship is not only a position of authority, but of responsibility. Jesus took our sins on His shoulders. He died in our place. Understand, Jesus took on responsibility for what was not His fault. And this is biblical headship in a nutshell. This is the responsibility that a man accepts when he becomes a husband. He takes responsibility for a wife and a family. He covers her debts. He mends her breaks. He repairs her problems. He heals her hurts. Fellows, are you the head of your household? Not head in the sense of bossy, but do you keep your family covered? Think of the word head in the sense of sheltering, materially and emotionally and spiritually. Does your wife feel safe under your leadership? In God's economy, a man carries a greater weight than his wife. To be the head means he goes ahead of her. He doesn't just sit back until his wife gets it in gear. No, he's the one who steps up. He's the one who takes the biblical initiative. A godly man learns to carry his wife. In a marriage, God has ordained that the buck stops with the buck. And I believe a wife will find it easier to obey God and to submit to her husband when that man mans up and acts in a loving, godly manner toward his wife. I'm just saying, every Christian husband needs to be good at the sport of wife carrying. And Paul teaches us the basics here in verses 25 through 30. Here's wife carrying 101, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Now, if you were a member of the church at Ephesus, and you were hearing these words for Paul from the very first time, you would be shocked. This would be revolutionary in your ears. In fact, you would be so disturbed, you would ask for this to be read again. The Greek culture expected wives to be submissive to their husbands, but no one ever expected a husband to love his wife, at least not in any kind of sacrificial manner. The Christian ethic brought to the ancient world this whole idea of reciprocal responsibilities. Christian relationships are two-sided. Wives submit, yes, but husbands need to love their wives. Kids obey their parents, but the parents shouldn't provoke their kids. Employees should work hard for their boss, but that boss should treat his employees fairly. Even in Jewish culture, a woman's plight was pitiful. Every morning, the Jewish man would rise and pray, "God, thank you that I wasn't born a Gentile, a slave, or a woman." Christianity came to the rescue of women. Not only should a wife submit to her husband, but Christianity taught that a husband should love his wife. And not only love, but as Christ loves the church. That raises the bar even higher. The Christian ethic shifted the majority of the responsibility from the wife to the husband. See, Paul did more for women's liberation than all the bra-burning feminists combined. Husbands are to be like Christ to their wives and bestow on them the love that Jesus showed us. Here's the husband's role in his marriage. He needs to love his wife. Men, your wife desperately needs to know that you love her, that you care for her. That guy got it right. He just kissed his wife right there on the spot. More of you guys should do that. Your wife desperately needs to know you love her, that you care for her. You need to reassure your wife daily that you're committed to cherishing her and protecting her and providing for her all the days of her life. A husband should be willing to lay down his life for his wife in word and in deed. We need to love our wives. But notice that our text doesn't say that we need to love our wives like Matthew McConaughey loves Jennifer Lopez, or like Tom Hanks loves Meg Ryan. Men, you may not be an extreme romantic, or a silver-tongued poet, or a handsome hunk. I don't see very many of those out there this morning. And real life is never like the movies. But guys, you know how to love your wives. You really do. Love your wife like you love those golf clubs. That's right. Keep her safe. Protect her from nicks and scratches. Outfit her in fluffy, comfortable covers. Take her to nice places. Make sure she shines. Brag about her to your buddies. Work on your swing, how you treat her. Get the right grip. Aim straight. Make good contact always. Be consistent. Make sure love for your wife is par for the course. Husbands, you know how to love your wife. Love her like you love your golf clubs. Just whatever you do, don't call her Big Bertha. Or love your wife like you love your tools. They're your livelihood, man. You treasure those tools. They're always by your side. You keep your eye on them at the work site so nobody walks off with them. You keep them oiled and greased and sharpened in service. You do whatever it takes to keep your tools in tip-top shape. Husband, treat your wife the same way. Or if I still haven't made my point to some of you thickheads, love your wife like you love that motorcycle. That hit home with anybody? Love her like you love that motorcycle. Keep her tuned up. Keep her running right. Deck her out with the latest accessories. Some of you men think you don't really know how to love your wives, but just treat your honey like you do your Harley and you'll do just fine. Men need to love their wives, but wives need to understand how men love. Often women marry men because they're attracted to masculine traits, rugged exteriors, deep husky voices. But after the wedding, they expect their husband to act and talk like a girlfriend. They want him to yak incessantly and get all emotional. Ladies, that is not the man you married. Some wives expect more from their husbands than he can deliver. Again, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, she gives advice to wives. She says, only when women enjoy those strengths they have that men don't, and enjoy the strengths men have that they as women don't, will they be happier creatures. Men display their emotions in action more than pretty phrases. If your husband doesn't say all the flowery things you think he should because you've watched too many chick flicks, you should look at what he does. When he repairs a leaky faucet or rotates the tires on your car, that's love speak for a husband. Action is largely how men communicate. Wives, God has called your husband to love you in the way that he measures love, not in the way that's depicted in the latest movie. Husbands will love their wives, but they'll do so like they love their golf clubs or their tools or their motorcycle. Or better yet, let me suggest that husbands should love their wives like Jesus loves the church. This is what Paul teaches us in our text. And Jesus loves the church in at least four ways. I'll list them for you. He loves us with a sacrificial love, with a sanctifying love, with a sensitive love, and with a sharing love. Guys, I hope you'll take note of those four ways that God wants you to love your wife. Here's what men need to know about wife caring. First, Jesus loves us with a sacrificial love. Notice again, verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Jesus gave himself for the church. He suffered and bled and died so that we could live. Jesus gave himself for the church in one big, bold, monumental way. Whereas a husband is called on to give himself for his wife's sake in a lot of little ways from day to day. Reminds me of the young man who said to his girlfriend, "For you, baby, I'll swim the biggest ocean. I'll climb the highest mountain. I'll cross the fastest river. And I'll see you Friday night if it's not raining." He claimed big sacrifices. But he wasn't willing to make those daily routine sacrifices. Hey, a good husband will be constantly dying for his wife. Dying to the habits that cause friction. Dying to desires that breed distrust. Dying to selfishness and stubbornness, dying to the kind of pride and self-righteousness that keeps you from saying you're sorry. When a husband comes home from work, he's tired, he's exhausted, he wants to be left alone. But a husband dies to his wants. He steps up to help out his family. And notice verse 25, we're told that Jesus gave himself men. This is what your wife desires most. Believe it or not, she wants you. She didn't sign up to coexist with a stranger. A wife doesn't just want you to do stuff for her. She wants you to spend time with her. More than money, she wants her honey. Rodney Dangerfield once said, "I get no respect in my marriage. On my wedding night, my wife told me we were seeing too much of each other." Trust me, guys, your wife will never say such a thing. "I don't understand it, but she can't get enough of you. She loves you. She wants to be with you." Once there was a hardworking farmer and his wife. Their house was hit by a tornado. The funnel cloud, it blew the roof right off the house, sucked the farmer and his wife right up, still in their bed. It just sucked the bed, the husband, the wife, right up out of the house. The same bed landed 10 miles away. When the hero units finally arrived, the wife was crying, but her tears were tears of joy. She said, "I can't help it. I'm so happy. This is the first time we've been out together in 20 years. At times, we husbands get so busy bringing home the bread, we forget our sugar. Jesus gave himself for the church, and every husband needs to lay down his life for his wife. Second, Jesus loves us with a sanctifying love. Read with me verses 26 and 27. "That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish." Jesus not only sacrifices for his church, but he works tirelessly to sanctify and cleanse his church. This word sanctify, it means to set apart. The idea is to separate from the ordinary, to treat something as special, to elevate its status. And this is how Jesus loves us. "Jesus found me floundering in my sin, but he cleansed me. He made me his own. He gave me purpose and hope and beauty. He has restored my dignity. I am Jesus' restoration project. And through continual washings of his word, he is working miracles in me. Jesus has renewed my mind. He's elevated my status in Christ. I am loved and accepted and valued. He involves me in his work. I am now somebody in Christ Jesus. And now he presents me to God, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Spiritually speaking, where there should be age spots, there are no spots. Where I'm weathered and worn, there are no wrinkles. Though marred by sin, in Christ, I am without blemish." And this is how a husband should love his wife, with a sanctifying love. Men, your wife is your restoration project. When you married, she had some scars. Maybe she'd been beaten down. Perhaps somewhere in her past, she was molested or abused or mistreated. She felt like a nobody. Maybe she lived promiscuously and lacked dignity. Husband, a wife bears wounds and the dysfunctions that they cause. Listen, this is not your fault, but it is now your responsibility. And as the head of your home, you should be God's healing agent in the life of your wife. Husband, your job is to love your wife like Jesus loves us. Our sin was not his fault, but he's taken on that responsibility. He died in our place to save our soul. Headship is being accountable for stuff that's not my fault. Real men don't bellyache about this. We don't cast blame. Rather, we redeem and we forgive and we restore and we sanctify. We work to show our wife and our kids a better life. A husband's job is to sanctify his wife, to help her overcome her past. He treats his wife as pure and special. He respects her as a lady. He looks past what she might have been and reminds her of who she is now in Christ. A godly husband helps to restore his wife's dignity. Yet I know husbands who only make matters worse. Their cutting comments remind their wife of what she once was. They stir up the evil echoes of her past. Men, if this is what you're doing to your wife, shame on you. Are you helping your wife grow in Christ, or are you holding her back? A husband loves his wife by speaking God's word into her life, by reminding her of how Jesus sees her, viewing her with the same acceptance and love and forgiveness that Jesus, he shows us. Men, have you given your wife an opportunity to start over, or do you continually dredge up her past? Let me ask all husbands here a serious question. Has your wife gotten prettier or plainer since she married you? Is she thriving or is she wilting under your influence? Men, your wife is the byproduct of your cultivation. You're responsible for her health and beauty. Thus, if she's not healthier and more beautiful than when you first married her, then men, you bear much of the blame. It angers me to hear a husband who's been married a decade come up to me and say he no longer loves his wife. And I ask you, why not? Why don't you love your wife? After 10 years of marriage, a husband indicts himself to say that he doesn't love his wife. She's been in your care for 10 years. What have you done to make her more lovable? A joyous, beautiful, godly wife is a testimony to her husband's love, whereas a depressed, brawling, nagging wife is proof of a husband's negligence. I'll never forget the fellow who approached me after Bible study. He said that he had decided to join our church. It's strange, we don't even have a membership. And he'd been coming for several years, so I figured that he already felt that Calvary Chapel was his home church. But I asked him, why have you reached this decision at this particular point in time? That's what he told me. Pastor Sandy, I've been watching your wife. That's a little creepy if you ask me. Somebody watching your wife. But then he added, she seems healthy and she seems happy. And since your wife is thriving under your leadership, I figure that my family will do the same. Wow. I still didn't like the guy watching my wife. But he did have some wisdom. Husbands, do you smother your wife or do you and stifle your wife? Or does she flower and flourish under your care? Here's another thought. Husband, is your wife growing in spite of you or because of you? We're the savior of the body, Paul calls us. We should enhance our wives physically and socially and emotionally and spiritually. We should love our wives with a sacrificial love, with a sanctifying love, and then third, with a sensitive love. Verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Jesus treats the church as his own body. The church is the body of Christ. This is a multifaceted metaphor. It speaks many truths. But certainly it emphasizes the empathy of Christ. Jesus became a man. He occupied human flesh. He took on a body like ours. Thus, he knows what it's like to be hungry and to feel pain and to be lonely and to have sorrow and to suffer need. He knows what it's like to care for a physical body. And so do I, so do you. We're all very in tune with the needs of our body. When our stomach growls, or when we need to get some sleep, or when we got a toothache, or when we pound our thumb down with a hammer, these kinds of needs don't get overlooked. And this is the way that a husband should relate to his wife. In a single word, his love shows her attentiveness. My wife may have needs that I can't meet, but I hope she never has a need that I don't know about. A husband is to nourish and cherish his wife as he would his own body. As you can see, I don't miss too many meals. And I shouldn't be picking up on Kathy's needs. Once there was a husband, he laid down on the couch. He picked up the TV remote control. His wife was in the other room when he shouted, "Hey, honey, anything you want to say to me before football season begins?" That's not exactly being sensitive to your wife. Jesus hears our prayers 24/7. Jesus lives to make intercession for us. The least we can do is take time out each day to be available to our wives and hear the issues that are a concern to her. Men, do you listen to your wife's heart? You should. I've heard it put this way. Every husband needs to know what makes his wife tick, what tickles her, and what ticks her off. That's great advice for husbands. Paul is telling us that a husband needs to be as sensitive to his wife's needs as he is to his own body. Years ago, I went on a school field trip to Jekyll Island with my son Zach's sixth grade science class. Jekyll Island is off the coast of Georgia in the Atlantic, one of Georgia's barrier islands. And I was bombarded all week long with more information about marine biology than I ever wanted to know. Most of it sailed over my head. But I did learn a vital lesson about marriage. It's an illustration that I've never forgotten. When the female China-back crab molts or sheds her shell, it takes several days for a new shell to harden. And for the interval of time, the female crab is extremely vulnerable to predators, to problems. But something beautiful happens. During that time, the male crab comes to her rescue. The male China-back crab covers the female with his body. That's when the vulnerable female attaches herself to the male's underbelly. And he carries her around until her own shell has time to harden again for proper protection. In other words, the husband covers his wife. And men, there will be times in life when your wife may get a little crabby. She might. And that's when you need to cover her. It's during those times of vulnerability that you need to be sensitive and carry your wife. It's a husband's job in those times to provide her with protection and reason and stability. This is part of being the head over our wives. Every wife needs to see and feel that she is the object of her husband's love. Well, finally, if we're to love our wives as Jesus loves the church, we should love her with a sharing love. Notice again verse 29. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. The urge to eat, to be warm, to sleep, isn't something we have to think a lot about. These are instinctive desires. And Paul is telling us that it should be instinctive for a husband to love his wife. It's an impulse that should come naturally for him. Guys, is it second nature for you to love your wife? You see, as Paul puts it, one day Jesus will present us to the Father as a glorious church. We'll share the glory that we found in Jesus. He will clothe us in His glory. It's a shared glory. The church is in Christ to the extent of sharing in His accomplishments. One day we'll reign and rule with Jesus. We'll share in His successes. His victories will be ours. Jesus longs for this day when He'll present the church to the Father in His shared glory. In other words, Jesus one day will show off His bride. He'll sport us on His arm. He'll brag about our beauty. One day, the church, you and I, will be Jesus' trophy wife. Can you imagine? This is what Paul means in Romans 8, verse 17. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. In the big scheme of things, Jesus makes sure that we not only carry His burdens, but one day we will also share in His glory. And this should be the goal of a loving husband. Over the years, my wife has been my best friend. She has suffered with me. There have been times when she was the only person I could lean on. She has helped me carry the load. That's why now, when a small reward comes my way, I am quick to share it with Kathy. She has shared in my struggles. She should also now share in my successes. Hear ye, all husbands. If you want your wife to submit or arrange her life around yours, then when a little success comes your way, make sure you share it with her. Let her in on the spoils of the battle. She's helped you fight the wars. She's had her share of combat too. Now you make sure she shares in your successes. Reminds me of the account in 1 Samuel chapter 30 with David's victory over the Philistines. The men who guarded the stuff back at camp received the same share of the spoils as those who had drawn the sword in battle. David said this, "But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike." And it's interesting, David made this order an official decree. It was a policy from then on in Israel. And I hope this has become your policy, husband. A faithful wife who guards the stuff deserves the same share of the spoils as the husband who wins the victories. Husband, why not give a portion of that next bonus check to your wife so she can go out and buy that new dress she's wanted? Or why don't you take her with you on your next fun business trip? She's held down the fort at home. Now that the busy season's over, why not treat her to a night out? Every husband knows what it means when his boss appreciates and rewards his efforts. Well, it means even more to a wife when her husband acknowledges her dedication and her faithfulness. Husband, do you praise your wife? Do you carry her picture around in your wallet or maybe now on your phone? Are you proud of her in public? A smart husband compliments his wife regularly. I'm sure every husband here appreciates his wife and all she does, but when was the last time, guys, you told her? Part of loving our wives is to have a sharing love. Reminds me of the British man. He came to America. He was enjoying our country. He attended church one Sunday. He heard a sermon on loving his wife. He took it to heart. And he returned home to determine to show his wife a new appreciation. While in the States, he noticed how American men complimented women with the phrase, "Man, you look like $1 million. He decided to use that on his wife back in England. But the translation sort of changed the meaning. He said, "Honey, you look like $1 million." And you can be sure her reaction was not what he expected. There was, though, one smart British gentleman who was quite skilled in complimenting his wife. England's Prime Minister, Winston Churchill, was once attending a banquet with his beloved wife, Clementine, or Clemmy, as he called her. They were sitting at the table with other dignitaries when each person was asked the question, "Hey, if you could not be who you are, then who would you like to be?" When it came Churchill's turn, he turned to Clemmy, took her by the hand, and he said, "If I could not be who I am, I would most like to be Lady Churchill's second husband." Wow, the old boy sure knew how to make points with his wife. And husband, you will win a few points with your wife when you love her with a sharing love. Well, husbands, love your wife as Jesus loves the church. Love her with a sacrificial love. Love her with a sanctifying love, with a sensitive love, and with a sharing love. Once a husband asked his pastor if it were possible to love his wife too much. The pastor answered, "Do you love her as much as Christ loves the church?" The man shrugged and replied, "Of course not." The pastor responded, "Then love her some more." And I am sure every husband here today can love his wife a little more. You can make that extra sacrifice. You can help to sanctify her in a new way. You can be more sensitive. You can be more sharing. Football players train. Baseball players improve. And all Christian husbands can get better at wife carrying. Men, when you want to be treated as the head of your home, then act like the head, not the rear end. Take responsibility. Love like Jesus loves. Stop complaining and start covering your family with love. Remember, headship is not so much about authority as it is responsibility. Husband, it falls on you to get the ball rolling. You can start. Guys, you can set a new tone. The first step is to rise up and love your wife. Make it your goal to earn your wife's respect and take on leadership by assuring her of your love. Always remember, guys, the buck starts with the buck. Father, thank you for your word to us this morning, to wives and now to husbands. Lord, help us to take these simple truths. Lord, your plan is not very complicated. It's not complicated at all. It's so simple. But Lord, may we take it to heart and commit ourselves to living out these truths. Lord, help us to follow through, to be the husbands, to be the wives you called us to be. Lord, you're doing something great and mighty in our marriage. You're painting a picture of your relationship with your church. You're painting a picture for all the world to see. You want to preach the gospel through our marriage. Lord, may we do our part. May we stay in step. Help you to accomplish your purposes through us. Lord, we love you and we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all your people said, amen. God bless you guys.